This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. If you struggle, like I do, with wanting to be right and feeling hurt when you've been wronged, you will find this message to be really impactful. Pastor Aaron's message is entitled, What Being Right Really Means. In this message, Pastor Aaron reminds us that being right isn't about not being wrong. Rather, it is about having a right heart toward God and others. This message was delivered on September 9th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
You, many of you, I don't get to see, except some of you know where I park my physical presence on Monday mornings between 10 and 12. But other than that, it's so wonderful to see all of you. And I pray that our Lord Jesus has touched your lives as he has touched mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for your blessings upon this church and our pastors, and blessings upon our families. We declare you as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we put our faith and trust in you. In obedience, we give of our tithes and offerings with a grateful and cheerful heart. Use it to grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say, Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. So, you're going to have the grill running on the 30th. Tom makes the best steaks and he does the best grill. He better, because he worked for Kulana Foods. Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? I hope you're doing good, because I'm speaking. And in about half an hour, it may not be the same, but that's okay. But, you know, today is such a beautiful day. Yeah, hard to complain on a day like this. Yeah, it's on a day like this that we realize how blessed we are that we get to live here in East Hawaii. Yeah? After all of the rain and everything all clears away, this is the most beautiful day. Yes, thank you, Lord. Don't forget to say thank you, Lord, today, okay? Because I can guarantee you that if you're anything like me, right after this service is over, maybe 5 or 10 minutes after, somebody's going to offend you in some way. Somebody's going to do you wrong. And you're going to be upset and forget how beautiful and blessed we are. I'm going to say this. After today's message, you better not do that, okay? Somebody's going to take away our rights from us or offend our rights, and we are going to want to get mad, but not today, okay? And not for the rest of the week and all that. No doubt that you've already taken a look at your message title on your bulletin and up on the screen this morning. The message titled, What Being Right Really Means. And you formulated some thoughts of what that can be already, right? Maybe some of you even filled in the blanks. I do that all the time. But I'm going to tell you what, if you did already, you got them wrong. But I believe with all my heart that there's a really, really good chance that this is your heart this morning, that you truly desire to be right in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't have woken up early this morning to attend this thing called church, to seek out the wisdom of the ages. Like Pastor Scott said, we could be doing so many different things. I mean, it's a beautiful day. We could have gone to the beach. Women, you could have slept in. Men, we could be watching football. But instead, we've chosen to be here this morning. Because somehow, some way, we've chosen to do so. Chosen to listen to what God has to say to you this morning, that it, and in the hope that it'll set something straight in your life. In fact, I'll be so bold to say that for a good number of us here this morning, it's the primary reason that we're here, that we recognize something just this past week or over the last month or even just today, something in our lives that needed a good tweaking, that needed to be made right. And we've chosen to bring it this morning before the one, the only one, who can make all things right. So if that's you this morning, these words are for you. And it's a good thing. It's It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And don't ever allow anybody to tell you otherwise. You know, I've never met a man or a woman who thought that they had it all together, who thought that they were right in all things, who knew that they needed God in their lives. Now, I met plenty of people who think they don't need God, and they think they're always right, but never anybody who understood their need for God in their lives. It's always that something revealed to them how much better life would be with God in it. And some of those things could even be coined as disastrous things, disastrous events, which led them before him to make things right. And no matter how bad it may appear, it's a good thing because it brings them to a place where there's a change of heart, a place where God can do his thing in their lives, a place where he can bring blessing. And that's why we're here doing what we're doing today, because we believe that God loves us way too much to leave us the way we are, and that he desires to change us from glory to glory, to make our lives right with him so that he can indeed bless our socks off. Amen?
Amen.
Now, with that said, right now, I want to be sure that we're all on the same page, that we, with the same understanding of what being right really means. Because you see, through our culture, the way that we were brought up, the influences we had in the past, even looking at all the things, all the other things that everyone around us is doing, we can have many preconceived ideas about what is right. In fact, if you think about it, what you do in your house might not be right in my house, and vice versa. See, my kids and I, we understood growing up that there were only two rules in our house, okay? Rule number one, mommy is always right. And rule number two, should mommy be wrong, refer to rule number one. What you do in your house may not be right in my house, and vice versa. Now, does that make me right and you wrong? Absolutely. Actually, absolutely not. Truthfully, we could both be right and or we could both be wrong. It all boils down to the convictions that we live by and hold to that causes us to set the rules and regulations that we choose to abide by. Now, let me get you interactive right now as I hope to set a conviction in your life to live by. Would you write this down in your notes? In God's eyes, being right has more to do with relationship than religion, rules, and regulations. Being right has more to do with relationship than religion, rules, and regulations. See, being right is about relationship. More specifically, our relationship with others, our relationship with ourselves, and most of all, our relationship with God. That's what it all boils down to, and I'll tell you why. Because when we get to eternity, the rules and regulations, the law that we live by, they won't be there. You know what will be? God and people. I have a little story I want to tell you before I move on. This story, true story this time, okay? Story actually took place, I believe it was back in the 50s, out in the ocean on the East Coast. And it says that a battleship had been at sea on its routine maneuvers under heavy weather for days. The captain, who was worried about the deteriorating weather condition, stayed on bridge to keep an eye on all the activities. Well, one night, the lookout on the bridge suddenly shouted, "Captain! A light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it stationary or moving astern?" the captain asked. The lookout replied that it was stationary. This meant that the battleship was on a dangerous collision course with the other ship. Captain immediately ordered his signalman to signal to the ship, "We are on a collision course. I advise you to change your course 20 degrees east." Back came a response from the other ship. You change your course 20 degrees west. Agitated by the arrogance of the response, the captain asked his signalman to shoot out another message. This time it said, I am a captain. You change your course 20 degrees east. Back came the second response. I am a second-class seaman. Still, you had better change your course 20 degrees west. The captain was furious by this time. He shouted to the signalman to send back a final message. I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees east right now. After a short pause, back came the flashing response, which said, I am a lighthouse. Your call. Like this captain, so many times we have the right. We have the right of way. We are absolutely right in what we do. We have the right. The question is, do you want to be dead right? So many times our lives can be just like with this, that we know, that we know, that we know that we're right. And we demand our right. However, in the end, our right leads to disaster. For example, husbands and wives demanding their right, but losing their marriage. Friends, family, fighting over what is right and forsaking their relationship. Not speaking to each other ever again. Disaster. Christians defending their rights and losing the opportunity to ever reflect eternity. Disaster. In his ultimate wisdom, King Solomon stated it like this. He said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now that's Proverbs 14:12. But he found this so important to say that he reiterates it word for word two chapters later. Now, I learned this one firsthand in a counseling session with my senior pastor at the time. Only thing is, he wasn't my senior pastor that day. He had taken off his pastor's hat for me and put on the role of dad. So I went out to see my dad. You see, Carlin and I were having a major disagreement, and I was right. I still remember that, yeah? And I pleaded my case to him. I mean, like half an hour straight. First time I've ever seen my dad quiet for half an hour. But half an hour straight, I'm telling him all the things, laying it all out. I think I went back to 1983. But I told him everything that she was doing wrong and everything that I was doing right. Now, this is my dad, so I fully expected him to say, you know what, you're right. We'll go home and give her a licking right now. But he didn't say that. Instead, he told me this, and you can write this one down in your notes. He finished with, you can be absolutely right and still be absolutely wrong. I'll never forget that statement. Truthfully, that is absolutely right, that we can fight for our rights and end up destroying what's really important, driving everything we live for right onto the rocks. But here's a better truth. The truth is that we do not have to. Instead of having to have our rights, we can choose to aim for what is really right. So let me tell you what that is. There are three things in this world that are really right. First one is God's heart. God's heart is really right. And God wanted us to know this so much so that he chose to come to us right where we're at. Not when we got it right, not when we became perfect. He took us right in our wrongs and met us right where we were at. Now, if there's anybody who could have demanded his right, It was Jesus Christ. After all, he is God. He could do and have whatever he wanted. With a word, he could have easily commanded all of heaven and nature to do his bidding. He had, has, and always will have the right. But instead of that, this is how he displayed his heart, how he measured out what is really right. John 15:13 says, and this is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You see, instead of demanding his rights, Jesus came to lay it all down so that we might live. Because being right has more to do with relationship than having your rights. And that's the very heart of our God, that he would look to make the relationship right above the rules and regulations. Now, let me just say this, that this does not mean that it's okay for people to come into our lives and do what is wrong. We never honor what is displeasing to God. In fact, there's one recording of Jesus getting very upset with what some people did in the temple. You see, they were turning it into a marketplace for personal gain. And he actually got mad and he began to flip the tables over. You know what he was saying by doing that? He was saying, this kind of behavior is not allowed in my house. But here's the thing. In the end, after all that was said and done, he gave up his life for these very same people. Why? Why would he die for those who offended him? Same reason that he did for each and every one of us. Because that is the very heart of God. That relationship is what is really important. And there are going to be many times when somebody is going to shaft you in something. And we'll get offended by someone. But if we choose to hold on to that offense, we'll never again be able to speak into their lives. We'll never be able to lay down our lives for them. Jesus said this. He said, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners. And this is what he's asking us to do. To reflect him in this, to live our lives in such a way that displays how important people are to him. Again, this doesn't mean that we accept what they're doing that doesn't line up with God's heart, but it means that they come to understand beyond the shadow of a doubt that we accept them, that we hate the sin, but we love the person. It also means that we choose to live right before them. That despite what everybody else is doing, despite what they're doing, despite what culture says, we live in such a way that reflects God's heart well, but not in a way that kills our relationship with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says that we try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord in the way we act. Ouch. So that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. You know what else is really right? Number two, agreement is really right. Agreement is really right. You agree with that? Good. You know, one of the things I'll never understand is when someone says this phrase, I hate this phrase, we agree to disagree. What is that? That's just disagreement all the way. Any organization that holds to this policy cannot thrive. In fact, many completely fold up because they agree to allow disagreement to remain. The Bible never instructs us to do this. In fact, Jesus instructs us like this. Remember this one, okay? Matthew 18:19. Underline it in your Bibles. Circle it. Highlight it. Where Jesus says, I also tell you this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Why am I telling you, making you remember this one so much? Because this is not just a scripture. This is a powerful, powerful promise from God. And take notice that he does not say that if you agree on what is perfect or optimal or according to the rules and regulations. Jesus says that if you agree on anything. And that's the power of agreement. That when we choose to live in accord with one another, God honors it. Many years ago, I came across this verse in my devotions. And I actually had to stop right here and ask God. I said, Lord, anything? Anything? And I believe with all my heart that he brought this thought to my mind. How many of you know who William H. Bonney was? Nobody? No, William H. Bonney was Billy the Kid. Oh, you guys are younger than me. And if you don't know who Billy the Kid is, that's okay. But Billy the Kid was one of the most renowned outlaws in the 19th century Old West. And the thing about Billy the Kid was that he had a gang of outlaws that was pretty much unstoppable. They did all kinds of things. They started off stealing cattle, and then they graduated to robbing trains, and then they became the bank robbers galore. These guys were good, and they could not be stopped. Now, they did just about everything wrong, yet they had success in what they did for most of their time together. Posse after posse of lawmen went after him and couldn't bring them down. You know why? Because they chose to agree and work together in everything that they set out to do. Well, as the story goes, along comes a sheriff named Pat Garrett, and he finally kills Billy the Kid. Pat Garrett gets credit, gets his name placed in history as the premier lawman of the Old West, because of this. But the truth is that Sheriff Garrett, he was good, but he wasn't any better than most of the guys who went after Billy the Kid. The truth is that prior to Pat Garrett going after him, the governor of the territory put out a reward on Billy the Kid's life. And it was something like $5,000, the equivalent of $2.5 million today. Smart governor. Because what happened after that is that greed took over. And this unstoppable gang that worked together stopped working together and started working toward taking down Billy the Kid, each one for themselves. They stopped agreeing. And Pat Garrett actually just cleaned up the mess. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to go put together a gang and start shooting up Hilo Town. If you choose to do that, or anything else that is evil, for a season you may be able to agree and be successful, but there's going to come a time when selfishness will step in to destroy that. The point is that agreement in anything is really right. And one of God's promises is that every time we agree, God will honor it. Now, being a father myself, I can fully understand this. One of the things I hate was when my kids used to fight. I don't care who's wrong. Both of them get licking. Because after a while, it just doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Yeah, I just hate it. But I love when they agree with one another. Even when they agree to do something naughty to daddy. Just seeing them work together does something to my heart where I want to honor them. Now let me tell you something about choosing to be in agreement. Choosing to be in agreement has very little to do with the other person and a whole lot to do with you. The Apostle Paul wrote it like this. He said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, not the other person. Many years ago, I'd say about 7 years into our marriage, Carly and I were still learning how to get along, how to make the marriage work. You see, she's a mega extrovert, and I am off the chart introvert. And they say opposites attract, but oh, it's hard to work that together. But we had to learn how to do it. And the thing that we learned was that if we could live out our marriage in agreement on everything, it would work. It would be blessed by God. We decided at that point that in everything that we do, or everything that we did, if we couldn't agree on something, then we wouldn't do it at all. But if we want to do things, if we want to move forward and with our family and thrive, then we'd have to find a way to agree. Now, notice that I didn't say compromise. Okay? I hate that word. Compromise is not agreement. Although plenty of people think it's agreement. It's not agreement. Okay? Agreement is 100% in the same direction. At best, compromise is 50-50, going in two different ways. You give me this, I get that. I get to, you get to do this, then I get to do that. Compromise is not agreement, okay? Just want to make that clear. But we choose to agree. Now, she's real good with this, because God said in the Bible, wives, submit to your husbands. She does very well with this. She usually finds a way to come into agreement with me. But it's something that I've learned over the years. And Colin is pretty smart. And when I choose to listen to her ideas, I can usually agree with what she's thinking. So as a side note, married guys, listen to what your wives have to say. And I know she's elbowing you in the side right now. That's okay. But God put her in your life for a reason. Sometimes you may have to give up your rights, but if that means that you come into agreement, then you will have the honoring of the living God in your family, because agreement is really right. And then most importantly, number three, love is really right. Love is really right. You have it in your notes, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. But I'm going to start reading to you from the end of chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, then I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love is patient, and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And love never fails. You know what the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is saying here? He's saying you can do and have everything the right way. You can have it all together in perfection. But if you do it without love, you have nothing. You can be absolutely right in all things, but for nothing. You know why? Because everything else that seems right will pass away, but love will never fail. First Corinthians, continuing in verse 13, he says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Again, without love, we got nothing. It all comes down to love. In fact, Jesus put it like this. He said that the two greatest things in all of eternity, the two things that we can do right above all else, is loving God and loving people. Upon these two things, everything else falls into place. Folks, love is really right. Right? Look at Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. No law. And the greatest of these is love. You know what this means? It means that love is absolutely, positively, really, really right. And here's what it all boils down to. That when we choose to love first, everything else falls into place, including the rules and regulations. Too often, we want people to get the rules right first. Then we'll love them. If you do this, then I'll love you. That, folks, is backwards. God's heart is that, and has always been, that we love first. That despite what you're doing, despite how you're treating me, I love you. And because I love you, I will treat you with dignity and respect and righteousness. You know why? Because I have no choice or power over what you choose to do. But I have choice and power to choose to love you. And that is really right. So do you want to be absolutely, positively, really, really right? Then in all that you do, do it with love. So what does it mean to be really right? It means living a life that reflects God's heart, willing to lay it all down for others. It means choosing to come to a place where we want to agree with one another. It means living a life of love. And it means remembering that being right has more to do with relationship than having my rights. Would you write this down? Here's your bottom line for today. That demanding my rights impacts the moment. But being really right impacts eternity. Amen? Amen. That's the Scott.
Word. I needed that. I always thought I was right. Because my children, they bought me this shirt. It says, I may be left-handed, but I'm always right. So I thought I was always right, but guess I was wrong. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for that wonderful word. Hey, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to give you an opportunity to be absolutely right with God by asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else out there? Anybody outside? You put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands, and they have made that choice to be right with you. They said, yes, come into me. Come live in me. And Lord, I pray that from this moment on, that they are a brand new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Lord, let us help them to grow in the person you created them to be. We thank you so much for this time. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you said yes to the Lord, if you have any questions about your relationship with God, On our greeting table, there's a yes booklet put out by Foursquare. Go ahead and take one. It is free. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. If you need prayer, let us know. We'll be happy to pray for you. Amen? Would you stand and join us as we sing?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.